Tell It Like It Is.
Etta James.
Dear Democracy Now, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman, Gonzalez. Our guest is Alexandra Robbins. Her book is Secrets of the Tomb, Skull and Bones, the Ivy League, and the Hidden Paths of Power. Alexandra Robbins, The Number.
That would be 322.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, the secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, a secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets, Tim.
I want to back way up and talk about, as you just mentioned, exactly what Skull and Bones is, because while some people on the East Coast have heard about the society, other people across the country, you know, had no idea that we were looking right now, if the polls are correct, at what would be the first Skull and Bones versus Skull and Bones presidential election, which is pretty weird. Skull and Bones is America's most powerful secret society. It's based at Yale, where it's headquartered in a building called the Tomb, and Skull and Bones has included among its members presidents, including President George W. Bush and his father, as well as William Howard Taft, Supreme Court Chief Justices, CIA officials, cabinet members, congressmen, and senators. What makes it so staggering that we could have a Skull and Bones versus Skull and Bones, Kerry versus Bush election is that this is a tiny, tiny club. There are maybe only 800 living members at any one time, only 15 per year. So it's kind of staggering that two of them suddenly could be facing off for the presidency, and so many of them have achieved positions of prominence. One of the interesting and I think disturbing things about Skull and Bones is that its purpose is to get members into positions of power and then to have those members hire other members into prestigious positions. This is something we have seen with George W. Bush. Since his ascendancy to the presidency, he's put several Bones men in prestigious positions, such as Bill Donaldson, the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission, the number two or number three guy in the Justice Department, the guy who, coincidentally or not, puts out all of Bush's secrecy memos. He's an assistant attorney general, and he's a major Bones man. Bones Frederick Smith was reportedly Bush's top choice for Secretary of Defense until he had to withdraw for health reasons. The General Counsel of the Office of Homeland Security, the Secretary of Defense's representative to Europe. The list goes on and on and on. And that's something that's interesting because George W. Bush likes to feign his distance from Yale, from Bones, from Northeastern establishment elite connections, and yet he's going ahead and following Skull and Bones to the letter.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322? Secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets, Tim.
Alexandra Robbins, The Number.
That would be 322.
And explain the significance of that.
Okay, so according to Skull and Bones lore, and this is something that both Senator Kerry and President Bush would have learned, in 322 BC, the Greek orator Demosthenes died. When he died, the goddess Eulogia, bear with me here, I didn't make this up myself, the goddess Eulogia, Skull and Bones calls the goddess of eloquence, arose to the heavens and didn't happen to come back down again until 1832, when she just happened to take up residence in the tomb of Skull and Bones. Now Skull and Bones does everything in deference to this goddess. They have songs, or they call them sacred anthems, that they sing about Eulogia when they are encouraged to go out and steal things, some remarkably valuable items, supposedly. They are said to be bringing back gifts to the goddess. They begin each session in the tomb, and they meet twice weekly by unveiling a gilt shrine to Eulogia. And that's basically the point of the society. They call themselves the Knights of Eulogia. That's where the number 322 comes in. Actually, I spoke with somebody who's very close to Kerry, who is also a member of Skull and Bones, and he said that Kerry actually uses 322 as a code in his daily life.
Kerry's campaign spokesperson, and she is quoted in the Boston Globe, saying, "John Kerry has absolutely nothing to say on that subject. Sorry."
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Because when I wrote that first article for The Atlantic Monthly, I basically dismissed Bones as a somewhat harmless organization because my own secret society didn't have that power agenda, so I didn't think Bones did either. However, after the article came out, I got a call at my office from the New Yorker from a journalist whom I knew by name to be a member of Skull and Bones, and he scolded me for writing the article. He said, I'm quoting, writing that article was not an ethical or honorable way to make a decent living in journalism. He asked me how much I had been paid for the story. I, of course, refused to tell him, and he hung up on me. 15 minutes later, he called back. He says, I had just gotten off the phone with our people. And I laughed. I knew he meant other Bonesmen, but I laughed because I didn't think somebody would actually say our people. And he told me that the society demanded to know where I got my information. I wouldn't tell him, of course. And then he spent the next 15 minutes or so berating me for writing about Skull and Bones, for having the gall to expose something about his secret society. And he ended the conversation by saying, there are a lot of us at newspapers and at political journalism institutions across the country. Good luck with your career. And he slammed down the phone. I was 23 then. I was an aspiring investigative reporter, so that did shake me a little bit. But what really appalled me was that I found out since that in the years since that call, this guy has been actively going out trying to destroy my career as a journalist, simply because I wrote about the film.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets, Tim.
Does it matter to Skull and Bones who wins this presidential race?
No. It's a good question and one that I ask many Bonesmen, and the way they describe it is a win-win situation. As long as there's a Bonesman in the White House, there are going to be many more Bonesmen in the administration.